We're happy to have everyone here this morning. We've got a good crowd, and we encourage you to follow along. We're going to be talking about the subject we talked about this morning in class in a little different way, though. So I guess we could say that Pat laid out the introduction to my lesson this morning. Tonight we'll look at the lesson entitled Passage Passovers. Passage Passovers. We hope you'll be present tonight. But this morning our lesson is entitled From the Old to the New. Well, that seems backwards, doesn't it? In everyday life, you know, what is new becomes old, doesn't it? In cars, I got an old car. It's 11 years old, 12 years old. It was new at one time, but it's old. We all have new shoes and old shoes, don't we? Our houses need maintenance because they deteriorate over time. Clothing deteriorates. And so we all know that things that we wear, our favorite shirt, our favorite jacket, after a while become threadbare and old. And Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 16, where he said, "No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse." James said, "Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten." And he's referring to the temporal nature of physical things when he said that. The earth, as the Bible points out, it's winding down. In Isaiah chapter 51, verse 6, Isaiah said, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished." So the earth is slowly winding down. The psalmist said in Psalms 102, verse 26, "They shall perish, but thou shalt endure, yea. All of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture thou shalt change them, and they shall be changed." The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10, he says, "And thou, O Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hand. They shall perish, but thy remnant, and they shall wax old as doth a garment, as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." So Jesus, God, is eternal, isn't he? In all these passages we see about the earth growing old, that suggests that it had a point of beginning. That suggests that it was new at one time, doesn't it? It had a beginning. So as our universe ages, it deteriorates through age and use. But it shows that it once had a beginning when God created it. See, as we think about our bodies age, don't they? In Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 18, "Paul said, for I have reckoned that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know," he says, "that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth and pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why did he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." For our bodies age as time goes by. See, the Bible speaks of the renewal of the old man, doesn't it? So, looking at it the way we'll look at it, as we age, we become old physically, but spiritually we become new, don't we? It's the very opposite. See, the old becomes new. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So think about it. When you've obeyed the gospel, you remember that day, don't you? But it's a continuing process. Did you obey the gospel last week? You ever thought about that? Look at it that way? You obey the gospel every day. It's an ongoing process, isn't it? It's a lifestyle. It's a way of life. So we're to continue in this newness of life. Paul talked about putting off the old man and putting on the new. In Ephesians chapter 4, he said in verse 22 that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Pat had a list of things of the old, characteristics of the old man were to put off. You know, grumpy, obnoxious, and those types of things. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created unto righteousness and true holiness. Paul talked about in Colossians chapter, let me back up here, Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, that we're to put off the old man and put on the new. Notice verse 9, it says, lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So he talked about the deeds of the flesh, the things that were to put off. He said, if you then be risen with Christ, verse 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits from the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. He said, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Then he said, mortify, or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things face the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, the traits of the old man. He said, and which ye also walked from time when ye lived in them. I had a preacher tell me, you can't live in adultery. People can't live in adultery. Well, Paul said they could right there in this verse. When two people marry, they can't live in adultery. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight, but Paul talked about how they did. He says, but now you also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, Paul talked about the old man that was to be crucified. He asked the question in Romans chapter 1. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, the obvious answer is no. He said, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin, referring to Christians, live any longer therein? He says, know you not though so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the Lord the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life, he said. Therefore, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So we read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where he talked about how that the man that's in Christ is a new creature. How is that? What does he mean? What's new? When we are baptized into Christ. For those who are in Christ or those that have been baptized into Christ. So we want to draw a contrast this morning about this progression of what the old man was, what the gospel does for him, and what the result is. And in the form of this chart here, we have an old man on the left, a new man on the right, don't we? Young man. But thinking about the first point, the old man is carnal in mind, isn't he? He's fleshly centered. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, for to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, didn't he? When one obeys the gospel, they have a mind of faith. They trust in the testimony of God's word. And when Thomas denied the Lord, denied that said he wouldn't believe the Lord was alive unless he saw it, Jesus came and showed himself unto him. In verse 30 and 31, the text is there in John 20, verse 30 and 31. He says, the many other signs truly that Jesus in the presence of his disciples is not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So what this passage here teaches us, it teaches us that the scriptures are all sufficient to cause us to believe, doesn't it? If someone doesn't want to believe, they're not going to believe. But one who has an honest and good heart, they can believe the testimony of Scripture. Eyewitness testimony of that. And they will believe that Jesus rose from the dead, won't they? As though they saw him themselves. We all believe Abraham Lincoln existed, don't we? But we've never seen him, have we? Why? Because we believe the testimony of those who wrote about him, the historical events, and those that wrote about Abraham Lincoln. So just ask someone that says, I won't believe it until I see it. Just ask them, have they ever seen Abraham Lincoln? They say, and do you believe he existed? Yes. Well, why do you believe he existed? And you can explain that why you believe that Christ was raised from the dead is because the scriptures say so. We have a mind of faith, and we have trust. So we have a new mind, a mind that trusts what God says. So the new mind is a spiritual mind. Paul said in Romans 6, 8, verse 6 again, he said, to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. So we have a new mind, don't we? Then we see where the old man is one who loves the world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not him, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. He's worldly centered. He's spoken on satisfying worldly desires and expectations and gratification. His affection is for worldly things. But when one obeys the gospel, his affection is for God's love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, John said, we love him because he first loved us. Then we have love for God. So we have a new affection. When we talk about someone having affection for something, it's something they really highly esteem, love, or devote their time to. Do we love God because he first loved us? So when we are obeying the gospel, we have the love of God in us. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Our whole essence is to love God, to do his will, to comply with his teaching, and to meet his expectations in what we do. That's what the new man does, doesn't he? Well, the old man follows the ways of man. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, Solomon said, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we follow man's ways. The old man did in his mind. He followed man's ways. That would lead to death. But when we obey the gospel, our will is submitted to God. We repent. We make a change in life. And we make a turn to God's way. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we see where Peter said that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffered to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So our will has been molded then to follow God's ways rather than man's ways. I got something out of order here. To follow God's ways. So Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, he said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, for my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For man's ways lead to destruction, don't they? But God's ways lead to everlasting life. So our will changes, doesn't it? See, the old man is a friend of the world. When you're a friend of the world, what does that make you? And God says, makes you an enemy of God, doesn't it? James said he adulters and adulteresses. He wasn't talking about physical adultery there. But he talked about friendship of the world. He said he adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? He said, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If you're an enemy of God, guess what? You'll never win. You'll always lose. So the old man of sin, he's friendly with the world. But when we obey the gospel, what happens? His allegiance changes. His allegiance once was to the world, but he confessed to Christ. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, we see where Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. So Christ now is his main focus. He's aligned with Christ. He gives his allegiance to Christ. He confesses Christ openly to the world. To the world. A lot of people today, and I heard it on the news, that some won't say that they like Trump because of all the hatred and animosity towards those that like Trump. So they're Trump supporters kind of under the cover. But we can't be a Christian under the cover, can we? We have to be a Christian openly. Tell the world that our allegiance is to Christ. And confess Christ. And over in Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 37, when Philip caught the eunuch said, when he saw water, he said, seeing here was water, what did it say to be baptized? What hindered him? There was something there he had to do yet. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he confessed his faith in Christ before men, before the world. It's written for our learning, isn't it? It's written for our learning. See, the old man was the child of the devil. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 38, Jesus said, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one, the devil. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, he said, and at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. So when one is without God in the world, who are they with? There's only two places to be, isn't there? With God or without. If you're without God, you're with the devil. So the old man is a child of the devil. When he obeys the gospel, his relationship changes through baptism and becomes a child of God. Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. And he reminded him, he said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there? And know you not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. We've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So, this relationship changes. Once a child of the devil, now a child of God. And in Romans, or Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, Paul said, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Why? For, here's the reason. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have been on Christ. Because they had been baptized into Christ, they had become a child of God, didn't they? They were Christians. They were children of God. How? By faith in Christ. By faith in Christ. See, the old man is in darkness. Jesus, in John chapter 12, verse 46, he said, I came as the light of the world. That whosoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Those without Christ are in darkness. Over in Acts chapter 26, Paul said he went to the Gentiles and preached to them. And why? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. See, Paul taught the gospel. So they would be brought to the light. You know, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So we see where the old man was once in darkness, but now his citizenship has changed. He's translated and became his dear son. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul talks about how, and told the Colossians how they'd been delivered from the power of darkness. How was that? By obedience to the gospel. And they'd been translated. That relationship, that citizenship changed. They'd been translated into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom he said we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sins. So when we become a Christian, when our citizenship is in heaven, then it is that we are in the kingdom of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The marvelous light of the truth. The marvelous light of forgiveness. The marvelous light of being in fellowship with Christ, God, and for all eternity if we remain faithful. See, the old man was a sinner. He was once a sinner. And Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We've talked about how he died for all, didn't he? Now last week we talked about Calvinism. Calvinism has us to believe that he just died for the elect, that his blood sacrifice is only for the elect. And if you're not one of the elect, then you have no hope of salvation. But he died for all sinners. Will all sinners reap the benefit of his suffering and death? No. Many will reject the gospel. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful thing and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, he said, of whom I am chief. Why did he say that? Because he reminded himself. And this always has struck me, how Paul would look back on his period of persecution of the saints. And I think that drove him in his efforts to preach the gospel, to try to make up for that as much as he could. Try to make amends with God for those saints that he persecuted and put to death. And he says that he's the chief sinner. Was it worthy of the grace that God had bestowed upon him? But he didn't act in a vain way. He acted in a mature way, didn't he? See, when we are sinners and we experience a new birth by being obedient to the gospel, then we have a new name. We have a new name. We're Christians now. Paul said, Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 5, he addressed Nicodemus. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. When we become Christians, when we're born of the water and the Spirit, we become Christians, as those did in the first century. And they were assembled, those that were assembled together with the church. It says that they were the disciples, and they were called Christians, first in Antioch. Who were those? Those that experienced the new birth. Those who are once sinners. A relationship, that name change, that new birth. Then the old man was a servant of sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16, Paul said, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves service to obey? You are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So no matter what we serve, we're the servant of it. If we serve sin, we're the servants of sin. If we serve obedience, we're the servants of God, aren't we? We see where the man of sin, the old man, was a servant of sin, but in his obedience to the gospel, his vocation changed, his obedience to God has changed. Paul said, therefore, that he was a prince of the Lord. He beseeched you. He beseeched those that he wrote to the Ephesians there. that they would walk worthy of the vocation or the calling or what they are called, the gospel. Remember in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul said unto them, those in Thessalonica, that he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is what translates us, what changes us. So we're to walk by that calling, aren't we? We're not to walk in the service of sin, but in the obedience of the gospel. And as we do, we become servants of righteousness. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, Paul said, but God be thanked that you are the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then when? When they obeyed the gospel. They became the servants of righteousness. And finally, the old man is destined for hell, isn't he? Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wage of sin is death. That's the payback. And that payback will come, won't it? But when one obeys the gospel, their destiny changes. They obey the Father's will. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, or 21, Paul said, not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I will change. When we change our will and obey the gospel, then our destiny is now heaven where it once was hell, isn't it? And Jesus taught about the great judgment that would be coming. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, or 34 rather, he said, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But what will he say to those on the left? Verse 41, he will say to them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So we see these changes that come about in Scripture, don't we? When you obey the gospel. And obedience to the gospel is not just a one-time thing, is it? It's ongoing. Are we obeying the gospel today? You better be. You better be, mustn't we? See, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, he says, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread to the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. And therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. It's if our light affliction, our the trials we experience in this life as compared to eternity, they're light, aren't they? It's if our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, the things which are not seen are eternal. See, Paul, as we talked about in our class this morning, he tells us a similar thing in Philippians chapter 3. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ, Paul gave up. He had all the benefits of Judaism. He could have gone a long way in Judaism, but he gave it all up. He said, yet doubtless I count all things but loss of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or refuse, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death.
if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. So Paul sought for the resurrection of the dead, to be raised with Christ. That's his goal, isn't it? But he hadn't attained that yet, had he? And he said in verse 12, not as though it already attained, neither were already perfect. But I follow after that, I may apprehend that for which I have also apprehended of Christ Jesus. And he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if any, in anything, be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, once we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So we're not to think that we are there yet. But what shall we do? Continue to grow. Be renewed day by day, aren't we? The ultimate renewal will be when we are resurrected with Christ and we're in heaven with Him. That's the sublime, isn't it? See, Paul sought that glorious resurrected body that he told the Corinthians about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And he talked about the different glories of different things here on earth and in our universe. In verse 40, he said, there are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. And so is written. The first man, Adam, being a living being. The last Adam being a living or life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, the man of dust. The second man of the Lord from heaven. As was the dust, or as was the man of dust, so also are those that are made of dust, as is the heavenly man. So also are those that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, this flesh and blood, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. And he said in verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall all not sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trump. For the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death has swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But he said in verse 51 or 57, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, growing, being renewed day by day. Going from that old to the new, spiritually speaking. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, after obedience to gospel, one, as we've discussed, is new. They have a new mind, affection, will, allegiance, relationship, citizenship, name, vocation, destiny. All things have become new. You know, from the old man, it becomes a new man. Right up to the physical life, isn't it? The very opposite of physical life. That's the lesson. If you're going to be subject to the Lord's invitation, we urge you to think on this. Are you all becoming new? Are you going the other direction? Are we growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and properly living the Christian life? Are we being renewed day by day, even though our bodies are wasting away? Things around us are wasting away? Are we being renewed? Will we experience that ultimate newness, the new heaven, the new earth that John talked about in Revelation 21? Something to think about. And we always like to extend the Lord's invitation. Alien sinners must hear the gospel, repent of their sins, believe what they hear, confess Christ, be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Erring children of God must repent and pray and ask for forgiveness. And we as Christians must live faithful in the death so that we'll be granted that crown of life that's been promised to us. If you're in any way subject to the Lord's invitation, I urge you to stand as together we stand and sing the song that's been announced. Shall we stand?